From KUAR News in Little Rock, I'm Jacob Kaufman. The race is afoot to represent Central Arkansas in the United States House of Representatives. A series of television ads is out this month between Republican incumbent French Hill and Democratic challenger Clark Tucker. KUAR spoke with Representative Hill earlier in the week. You can find that interview at KUAR.org. Clark Tucker joins us on the line now. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much for having me, Jacob.
So far, your campaign is centered to some degree around health care. You support a lot of the Affordable Care Act, but have plenty of criticism of it as well. Representative Hill earlier this week said that he's offered legislation that would end what he calls Obamacare while also protecting pre-existing conditions, and he says keeping premiums down. How do you see health care playing out in this campaign?
Well, I think it's going to be one of the most critical issues in the campaign because I think it's one of the most critical issues facing people in Central Arkansas. And I also think it's one of the easiest contrasts on our records. You know, I worked across the aisle in the Arkansas legislature for Medicaid expansion to bring health care to people, 300,000 people in Arkansas, many for the first time in their lives. And Congressman Hill voted for a bill last year that would have completely dismantled that innovative bipartisan program. It would have blown a hole in our state budget, and it would have, and from my reading and every other reading I've seen of the bill, it would have removed protections for people with pre-existing conditions, people like myself and hundreds of thousands of Arkansans, specifically people in this congressional district.
Representative Hill has also run ads saying that you are the hand-picked favorite of elite Washington liberals, and that you essentially back Nancy Pelosi's policies, if not her in particular. What do you make? Is it fair to tie you to Pelosi or the Washington agenda of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee?
Of course not. I think that ad actually tells us quite a bit about this campaign. Number one, it just shows that their recognition of how competitive not only this race is going to be in the fall, but how it is right now. So if you hear anybody say that it's not going to be a competitive race, that's just not true. Secondly, I think it is a window into his record. I mean, if you're an incumbent congressman and you start your campaign by attacking your opponent with ads that are really misleading, then what does that say about your record? But I think really most importantly, it's a strong contrast, not only in our campaign styles, but our governing styles. This is a political tactic that's being used by Republicans all over the country, and it's he's essentially taking marching orders from the Republican leadership there, and that's frankly the same way that his voting record is in Congress for the last 4 years, and that's not the way that I've operated in the state legislature. It's not the way I'm operating this campaign. I'm truly focused on healthcare, economic opportunity, education, the issues that really matter to the people in the second district. That's what I would work on in Congress. And it's understandable why he might think that I would fall in line with party leadership in Washington because that's what he has done. But that's certainly not what I've done in Arkansas or nor what I would do in Washington.
Well, we look forward to exploring some of those issues in the months leading up to November. But let's move on to the crisis of the moment, if we will, occurring at the southern border with Mexico. What's your reaction generally to the Trump administration's new zero-tolerance policy of separating children from parents at the border, including asylum seekers and refugees?
Yeah, I'm horrified. I truly think this is one of the worst practices, if not the worst practice, that the United States government has deliberately engaged in during my lifetime. It's, you know, we are separating children from their parents, but I think it's important to understand some people who cross the border illegally, but some people are actually seeking asylum at designated ports of entry and have rights under the United States law and have broken no laws, and they're still being separated from their children. And I also think it's wrong to separate children from their parents, even unless there's some other crime or threat present. If all they're doing is crossing the border illegally, then we should not be separating parents from children, and certainly not in the way that we're doing. Regardless of where you stand on that issue, we are making no effort to keep parents and children together to reunify them after the legal process plays out. And we've seen reports where parents are deported without their children, where children are deported without their parents, and it's just, it's completely heartbreaking. It's morally reprehensible, and I think it really damages our ability to be a leader of freedom in the world.
This crisis may be coming even closer to home for people in Arkansas soon. Federal officials are considering housing migrant children in these tent camps or facilities at different military installations in Texas and in Arkansas. I spoke with the governor back in May. He seemed open to the idea, though he wanted more information. What are your thoughts about Central Arkansas, potentially the second congressional district, housing these children?
I'm staunchly opposed to the policy that creates a need for us to house children. I just saw on the news last night, you know, that they're referring to these as tender age facilities. And I mean, if this doesn't break your heart, I don't know what will. I saw an image of a federal bus, and it was every seat on the bus had a car seat. We've heard recordings of small children crying out for their parents. I read a report of a man in a detention facility who was convinced he was never going to see his children again and committed suicide. I mean, and the United States is deliberately inflicting this damage on these people. It's just truly astounding. I cannot believe it, quite frankly. It keeps me up at night, and we're better than this as a country. And so to the extent, no state should really be engaged in housing these folks. And I don't want it to come to Little Rock because I don't want it to reach that point. The only silver lining I could see is if the people that I talk to on the street every day would want to help, you know, care for these kids. And, I think the heart of Central Arkansas would come out if that were to play out. But it doesn't need to get to that point because we've already separated too many kids from their families as it is, and we need to stop this policy today.
U.S. Senator John Bozeman, a Republican, he said that this policy should stop. He's one of 13 Republican senators saying that. Representative Hill, however, he blames this not on the new policy from Attorney General Jeff Sessions, but on Democrats and past administrations for creating this circumstance. What do you make of that argument that this is a crisis not of the Trump administration's making?
Again, it ties back to the Pelosi strategy approach. It's a lot of finger pointing in Washington about who was to blame for what happened yesterday, when in fact what we need are people who recognize the issues that face the United States today and a willingness to work with anyone to make something happen on those issues. And, you know, finger pointing about who created it does not help these families on the southern border today. And it does actually take some courage to stand up against party leadership, as I've already done in this campaign. And so, you know, I applaud Senator Bozeman for taking that stance. And I think any member of Congress, Democrat or Republican, who's not willing to take action on resolving this crisis today should have a new job come January.
And so let's stop pointing fingers for a second then. What do you propose should be done with these children as they cross the border with their families? Should the solution, if it comes from Congress instead of a policy change from the Trump administration, should it be a standalone bill? There's several House efforts that would tie it to other things like limiting immigration or building a border wall.
I think that the days of using children as bargaining chips for other legislative policies should have been over a long time ago. We've seen it with CHIP. We've seen it with the Dreamers, and now we're seeing it with this, and we need to take action today to resolve this issue. And first of all, the Trump administration could very well change their policy, the interpretation of the law today, just as they changed their policy a couple of months ago. And Congress could certainly compel the administration to change its policy through a change of the law. And, you know, what we're talking about here, again, is a very minor misdemeanor. And in the United States, when someone commits a misdemeanor, they don't lose the right to raise their children or see their children for the rest of their lives. And so, first of all, you know, when people legally seek asylum at designated ports of entry, we obviously ought to be keeping those families together. And the law currently does not require, but Congress can clarify that even if you illegally cross the border and you have committed a minor misdemeanor in that regard and present no other danger or threat to the United States, then you ought to be able to remain with your children as people who commit misdemeanors in the United States every day do. And, well, you know, what they've done in the past is tried to put those families in front of an immigration law judge to determine whether there's a valid assignment claim or whether something else needs to happen with the family. But the family stays together throughout that process. And the answer is not to put children in jail with their parents either. So these are the steps that we need to be taking. And in addition to the other major immigration reforms that we need to be taking as a country, including securing our border, which I think everyone agrees we ought to do. There's broad bipartisan support for that. You know, a path to citizenship for Dreamers and taking care of people who want to earn a better life in the United States, and the list goes on.
All right, Representative Clark Tucker, a state representative and the Democratic 2nd Congressional District candidate. We look forward to following up with these issues with you throughout the campaign. Clark Tucker faces French Hill in the November election. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Jacob.
From KUAR News in Little Rock, I'm Jacob Kaufman.